Turn to 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 16. I want to speak today on the subject of the pastor and congregational care. The pastor and congregational care. That is, the need to care for the congregation. And what should the pastor do and what should the church do? Notice it says in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 16, it says, "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you." Notice something in this verse that God can do. What can God do according to this verse? God can put earnest care into the heart of a man so that he will then show that care for you. The last two words, for you. The verse starts by saying we ought to thank God for this. You know, it's the Thanksgiving season. We ought to thank God for pastors. We ought to thank God that there are men preparing for the ministry, and the reason being is because God has done something for them. He has put earnest care into their hearts for people. Pastors need to care for people, and a man who doesn't, who looks at it, well, maybe it's just a profession I'm thinking about getting into, he should stay away from the ministry. He is not qualified. This is not about professionalism. This is not about building our own little kingdoms. This is not about building our own names. This is about caring for people, the ministry. And God can put into people's hearts, and we're hoping that God will do that. We serve the same God today as lived in Titus's day. And he wants to put into the heart of some of you men care for people so that he will call you to be pastors someday or missionaries or evangelists or Sunday school teachers or to minister in some capacity in his church. God can put care into the heart of a pastor. Now, Titus was a pastor. We're told in the subscription to the book of Titus after chapter 3 and verse 15 of the book of Titus, that Titus was ordained as the first bishop of the Church of the Cretans. He was an ordained man. He was a bishop, or which is an overseer. Sometimes we call them elders. We call them more commonly today pastors. So Titus was a pastor, and one of the things God did was put in his heart care. Go over to chapter 11, 2 Corinthians 11, and I want you to notice in verse 28 it says this, "Besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Now we have the Apostle Paul being lifted up to us as an example. And I want you to notice that he had a lot of things that came upon him, and he cataloged those in earlier verses. But one of the things he said also is that God had given him the care of all the churches. So notice Paul needed to be a caring man. He needed to care for the congregation, and that was part of his calling. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, we read this beginning at verse 19. "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Now we see that Timothy was a man of care. We see Titus, Paul, and now Timothy. In this case, whatever it means, I'm not sure. Paul said, Timothy will naturally care for your state. Now, there are some people who just seem to be naturally more caring than others. And I am not one of them. I've got to work on it. I've got to go back to Titus, and I've got to say, "Lord, please put in my heart earnest care for others." And I have to really work on caring for people. It's just not natural. For me, I'd rather be a loner somewhere, just, you know, lock me in a cell somewhere with a Bible and a pad of paper, and I'll be as happy as a man can be. But we need to care for people. Timotheus naturally cared for people, here it says, and because of that, the Apostle Paul had great confidence in him to send him back to Philippi. Sadly, in verse 21, it says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. And so selfishness was a big problem back in Paul's day, just as it is in our day. There are not many people who seek the welfare of other people. For all seek their own. Most people by nature, myself included, are selfish, self-centered, cold-hearted, cold-headed people. But God wants to put care in us. And Timothy was a man of care. But you know the proof of him, verse 22, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. So we've seen here that Titus was a man of care. Paul was a man of care. Timothy was a man of care. And pastors need to care for people. They need to care for their congregation. What would a shepherd be if he had a flock of sheep around him and he didn't care for them? He didn't feed them. He didn't lead them. He didn't protect them. He would have all kinds of casualties among his sheep. Some sheep would fall over cliffs. Some sheep would be eaten by wolves, and so on and so forth. A shepherd has to be a caring man, and we need men. We need men who will leave the life of selfishness, leave the life of self-centeredness, leave even lives of comfort and ease like Nehemiah did, like Moses did. Both of those men had a name. Read their history. Moses lived in Pharaoh's house. He could have been called Pharaoh's son. Nehemiah was a cupbearer in the palace in Shushan. What a gravy job he had. But God put in their hearts care. Moses had care, and Nehemiah had care, and they left jobs of ease and comfort, and they placed themselves outside their comfort zones and caring for people, and they had a difficult time at it, but in eternity they didn't regret it. They didn't regret giving up ease and luxury and comfort to serve the Lord, and God is calling men in this church to serve the Lord, and some of you are going to have to give up ease and comfort. He may ask you to give up all for the Lord and then to go out and to begin to care for people. We need people like that. Pastors have to be caring people, and we've got to have that caliber of men alive today. We are having churches all over America closing down because they can't find pastors. They can't find men. 800 Baptist churches a year closing down in America, and many other Baptist churches in America who can't find a man to come and be the pastor of those churches. And God is calling men, and you need to be a man of care. It says in the bishop's duties in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 5, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? But you know, caring doesn't just stop there. I want to give you 3 points today. The first is that, number one, the pastor should care for people. The pastor should care for people. Now, right here is where often our doctrinal teaching on this issue, by the way, start looking back to Exodus 18 for a minute. Right here is often where our doctrinal teaching on this issue stops. We get a pastor and we say, oh, good. We have a man now that's going to care for us, and we put all the burden upon him to care for the congregation. That may be a cultural expectation in America, but it is not a scriptural one. It is not a scriptural one. Let me ask you something. Just analyze yourself as you sit here today. How many people could you care for personally? I mean, really care for. How many people's cares would you like added to your daily load of life? I mean, let's say just 5 people said, you know, they're really burdened, they had problems or something like that. And let's say 5 people came up to you this week and said, could I have at least 1 hour of your time? What if you had 10 people come up to you this week and say, you know, you're a caring person, I need some help. Could you give me at least 1 hour of your time this week? Could you handle 10 people? As an individual? What if 20 people came up to you and said, you know, I need some counsel. I got some things that I got to have some advice, and you know God, and you know the Bible. Could I have 1 hour of your time? How about if 20 people came up to you and said that to you? Would you be able to handle that? Then why do we expect pastors to? And yet that's how many churches function. And this is why, depending on what research you listen to, I know the United States Postal Service at the last census found that the average pastor changes his address every 19 months. I've heard between 18 months and 2.5 years, the Barna Research organization, I believe it was, that said the average pastor lasts in a church for 2.5 years before he leaves and goes to another church, and that usually 2 to 3 churches is the extent of his ministry. The average pastor's ministry in his whole life is 6 years long, and only 1 out of 10 men who say that God has called them to be pastors cross the finish line. And I believe one of the reasons is because this subject right here, where we call a pastor in and we expect him to care for 40 people, or 80 people, or 100. There's no human being that can do that. So number two, certain appointed should also help care for the congregation. Number two, certain appointed should also help care for the congregation. I want to show you both an Old Testament and a New Testament story that teaches this truth. Certain appointed elders, or certain appointed deacons, or certain appointed care team ministers, or whatever you want to call them, should be appointed to care for the congregation. Let's look at an Old Testament example in Exodus 18 and verse 30. Moses has been called by God to pastor what the book of Acts calls the church in the wilderness. He had the largest congregation ever, 600,000 men. You get 600,000 men, you usually get 600,000 women around. You get that many men and women together, you usually have 600,000 kids pretty soon, or more. So he started out with 2, 3, I don't know how many million people. And the very first year, if you study the chronology, the very first year they got out of Egypt, by the Passover blood of Jesus Christ, and they crossed the Dead Sea, the Red Sea, and they began into the wilderness. Before God ever gave them the Ten Commandments, before one word of the law was ever spoken at Sinai, an incident happened. And I believe it saved Moses' ministry. In verse 13, his father-in-law, Jethro, came and began to observe Moses. And it says, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning unto evening. How'd you like to do that just one day? And when Moses' father-in-law, that's Jethro, saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, what? The thing that thou doest is not good. It isn't very good, Moses. I don't like this setup. Thou wilt surely wear away. How long do pastors last? Why? They wear away. Yes, that's the number. That we call it burnout. We got a fancy word for it. They wear away. Now, how is that going to affect the people? Verse 18, thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee. Notice, for this is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward. that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. That description there in verse 19, what's a one-word synonym for that? Be thou for the people to Godward, a vertical relationship. What's a one-word synonym for that? Prayer. Prayer. Moses, you need to talk to God on the behalf of these people, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. That's prayer. Prayer. And what's the second duty he's told here by Moses to do in verse 20? And thou shalt teach them the ordinances and the laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. What would we call this in verse 20? We call this the ministry of the word. So Jethro says, Moses, you need to focus on two things if you're going to take care of this congregation. You need to focus on prayer to God, a vertical relationship, bring the causes to God, and then you need to focus on a teaching ministry. A teaching ministry. I've heard some pastors and more famous pastors that have crossed my life, who've had really large churches, and God's blessed their ministries, and they'll say, I counsel four times a week. And they'll say, I counsel in Sunday school. I counsel in my Sunday morning sermon. I counsel Sunday night. I counsel Wednesday night. Somebody says, I need counsel. They say, come in here counseling. Now, they're not trying to put off people, but I think it's very wise what they said. Preaching is counseling. It's like group therapy. It's like us all getting together and hearing the Word of God so it doesn't have to be repeated on an individual basis. I tell people oftentimes, and I don't mind counseling, but I tell people oftentimes, I say, look, I don't have anything down in my office that I'm hiding from you that I haven't said from the pulpit. I mean, if you think there's some magic books I got down there, advice that I don't share with anybody, and I just bring out for special occasions, no, you're wrong. I'm basically going to say to you the same things I've said from the pulpit for 23 years here. And so he says, you need to teach them two things. Verse 20, how to walk and how to work. The work they must do and how they must walk. Moreover, thou shalt provide, now here's the point number three, or two, certain appointed elders or certain appointed deacons or certain appointed servants should help care for the congregation. These are very, very special people. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. Let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be, notice, that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be, and this is the only time this word appears in all the Bible. What's the word? Easier. Easier. It's the only time, and it's in regards to the leader. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee, if thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so. Then thou shalt be able to what? Endure. And all this people shall go to their place in what? Peace. See, it's going to bring peace to the congregation if you have some help caring for the congregation and that you're not trying to do it all yourself. You know what happens when the pastor is the only one that's trying to do it? Here's what happens, because I know we used to do this around here. I couldn't get to everybody, and eventually people said this, the pastor doesn't care about me. I'm leaving. He never called me. He never came to visit me when I'm sick. He never read my mind and realized that I was having struggles and that I had a broken heart or a wounded spirit. He doesn't see my marriage problems. He doesn't see my troubles raising my children. He doesn't understand the financial burden that I'm under. He never cared for me. There's people all over the world that have dropped out of churches. And that's the reason the pastor didn't care for me. Maybe he wasn't supposed to. Maybe that was supposed to be passed on to others in the church to help him care in some of what the Bible calls here smaller matters, so that what can be brought to him are greater matters, so that he can focus in his main twofold manner of caring for the congregation, of prayer to God. See, I know some might not believe in this, but prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. And the ministry of the Word changes things. And I can't tell you how many times my life has been changed by the ministry of the Word as I have sat there and listened to preaching and teaching. I'm 49 years of age. God saved me when I was 12. You figure it out. I've been in the Lord about 37 years right now, and to this moment, I have never yet one time been to a counselor. Why? Because the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is sufficient to teach us everything we need to know. But I've listened to preaching, and I've listened to teaching, and I've tried to get into the Bible myself and into prayer and tried to know the Holy Spirit in a personal way myself, and that's led me. All these years, 23 years of pastoring, I never once called a pastor and said, I don't know what to do. Because there's a God in heaven who's waiting to tell me. He knows more than men. That doesn't mean, I'm friends with pastors, and I glean from every one of them I can. I read their books, I listen to their preaching and teaching and so on and so forth. But there are some that need help. And there ought to be those that can help them. Now, did Moses implement this? It says in the book of Numbers, and chapter number 11, now this is the same year, by the way, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers were all written in the same year. In chapter 11, and verse number 16, it says this, and Moses said, and the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, and they that they may stand there with thee, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. You know, some pastors think that they're it. You know, wisdom stops with them. And that they're the ones that, you know, everybody ought to come to them and so on and so forth. There may be an occasional rare man who graces this earth who can do that. But most can't. Most need help. And the Bible says God then followed that plan, or God gave it, first of all, and then took of the Spirit that was on Moses and put it on these elders, and they helped bear the burden with Moses. That was in the first year of the wilderness, and I believe that's what enabled Moses to make it for 40 years. He had some help right from the beginning. And I think pastors need some help right from the beginning. That's why so many are only lasting a year and a half. I can't read Deuteronomy 1, verses 13 through 18, but it says the same thing. 40 years later, when Deuteronomy was written, he said, this is the plan that I implemented at the beginning that helped us get through this wilderness mess. I had help. Pastors need help caring for the congregation. They need help. They need good men that'll help them. Good women, too. Go to Acts chapter 6. Let's show you a New Testament example of the exact same principle. This is the church at Jerusalem. It was big by now. Thousands were attending. And in those days, in verse 1, it says, there was a murmuring. The Grecian widows were being neglected in the daily ministration. The Hebrew widows were being ministered to in the daily ministration. Widows that were Jews were being cared for. Greek or Gentile widows were being ignored. I don't know if that was because of partiality or what. But they came to the leaders of the church, the apostles, especially the apostle Peter, and there was a murmuring in the church in verse number 1. Let me just say this. If you ever hear a murmuring in the church, it's not time to leave. It's time to find a solution. Okay? This church is not a perfect church for those of you that are new around here. Won't be long. The longer you stay, the uglier it looks. that's just human nature. But God's working on us, and we need to find solution. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, now notice what they said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now these guys weren't haughty guys, these were humble guys. They didn't think they were above doing this. They just said, look, men, look, folks, God has given us something to do. This is the main way that we care for the congregation is in verse 2, by the word of God. That's the main way I show my care. We shouldn't leave this to deliver groceries to the widows. Now, that's important. But we got to find a solution to this. Verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Just like in Exodus 18, these have to be good men. And they said, we want to appoint them over the business of the church, that is the business of ministering to the congregation, the physical needs. There's even one portion of Scripture that says the carnal needs of the congregation need to be cared for. People need food. People might need a ride to the hospital, to the doctor, to they might need a little counsel on maybe not a major issue or something like that. And we need to appoint some over this business. And then verse 4 says this, but we will give ourselves continually to what? That vertical relationship. Just like God said to Moses. Or Jethro said to Moses, you be for the people, God. You bring their causes to God, prayer. What was the second thing Moses was supposed to do back in the Old Testament? Teach them the laws of God, how they should work and how they should walk. What does this verse say? But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. See that? Same thing. Old Testament example, New Testament example. See, there needs to be amongst pastors and congregations a certain jealousy that protects the pastor, protects the staff members, so that they can especially focus on the Word of God and on prayer. On prayer and the ministry of the Word. That has to be jealously guarded. I mean, what good would it be if a pastor's out burnout all week long because he's running this person to the hospital and this person getting groceries and this person needs a ride here and this person needs this, and so on and so forth, and he doesn't have any time to study the Word of God, and he just stands up like blubbering stew meat every week trying to preach something that doesn't make any sense. We've got enough lousy preaching in the pulpits today. That's just empty and shallow. And it's not feeding people. The reason God even called or ordained the office of a pastor, the first time it's ever mentioned in the Bible. Jeremiah 3:15 says, God said, I will give you pastors according to my heart who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's the main reason. God has a heart. And I will give you pastors according to my heart. And they shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. They're supposed to, as Paul told Timothy, labor in the Word of God and doctrine and feed you. And you know, I believe if a pastor will feed you enough of the Word of God and the whole counsel of God, that there will be enough for all of us to eat and to draw from, and that will solve your problems. If you'll just take it and appropriate it into your life, into your marriage, into your raising your children, into your finances, into your life as a single person, whatever it might be. If you'll just take what you hear, in most cases you'll never need counseling. And so there needs to be certain. And so the saying pleased the multitude. They said, hey, that's a good idea, verse 5. The church said, that's a great idea. We started out murmuring, and now we found a solution. And they appointed Stephen, Philip, their names are down there, Prochorus, Nicanor, in verses 5, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Now notice that's number 2. Certain appointed elders, deacons. Some have called these deacons. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but they sure seem to have fit the New Testament teaching of what a deacon should be. These guys didn't run the church. They didn't tell the pastor what to do. They didn't bottle up the finances so the church can go forward. They cared for the widows. They delivered groceries or what? I don't know what they did. But that needed to be done. They helped in congregational care so that the leaders could attend continually, it says verse 4, to prayer, to the ministry of the word. That doesn't mean the pastor sits in his office all week or anything, but he tries to go out and talk to people also and tries to set an example in many areas and so on. See, we have a care ministry in our church that's based on this second principle right here. And we have certain men and their wives accompany them, and then many help on each team. There's four teams, and they each work each Sunday, and they're there to try to care for the members who appear to be hurting or need some counsel or maybe a first-time attender or something like that. And they go by and visit the first-time attender on Monday or Tuesday. And why? Because we're following a biblical pattern. We're following a biblical pattern where we are dispersing the care so that people will be helped. And let me give you one more point. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I've said to you, number one, the pastor should care for people. And the main way they care is by prayer and the ministry of the word. That's the main way they care. But the pastor or the pastors should care for people. Number two, certain appointed elders, deacons, care team leaders, whatever you want to call them, should also be appointed and should learn to care for the congregation. That should be their calling, their duty. And now right about now, some are saying, good, I'm covered. I don't have to be in on this. It's all set. I can do other things. Oh, no. Number three, each member should care for the congregation. Each member should be a minister. Each member a minister. Now, this might not be the nicest thing to say, but did you know the church isn't about you? It's not about you. Those people, they drop off like flies. When those that come to church and think, this is about me, because it's not long, but they leave and say, well, nobody talked to me there. Brethren, if God's the only one that talks to you, it was worth being there. It's worth being there. God's the only one that ever talks to you. If all God says to you when you come to church is one word, and you get nothing else, it was worth being there. But one little phrase, but one little truth, it was worth being there. Church isn't about you, and it's not about me. It's about the Lord. It's about others. Now, some aren't there yet to accept that truth, and you know, I'd be the first one to admit when I first got saved, I was as selfish as a guy could be and self-centered, and I had to go from becoming a baby in Christ to becoming a disciple. And a disciple is one who has finally advanced in the Christian life where they realize it's not about me anymore, it's about the Lord, it's about others. What can I do to help somebody else? And notice 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25. It says this, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So you say, well, I'm not on the care ministry. I'm not on the care team. Doesn't matter. That the members should have the same care. Every single one of us who is a born-again Christian should grow to the point where we start caring about someone else. Every one of us. Can you imagine a church like that? Wow, you'd think you'd die and go into heaven every Sunday. Sunday night and Wednesday night. If there was a church where every time you came in, somebody said, how you doing, Brother John? Good to see you. The Lord bless you. Hey, how was your week? Has anything come up in your life right now that I can pray about? I'd like to pray for you, John. I pray for you all the time. I care about you. Is there anything in your life right now that you need help with? Is there anything you need that you need? Can I help you with anything, Brother John? Can you imagine if everybody was like that? Wow. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, Jesus said. What? If you have love, one, two. Not one, four. One, two, another. That's the kind of church. You see, whether you're in the care ministry or whether you're a pastor or not, doesn't matter. The Bible says we should all care for each other, that there be no schism. That word schism means a crack. Did you ever hear the old saying that he fell through the cracks? Hey, whatever happened to brother so-and-so? Whatever happened to sister so-and-so? I haven't seen them around in a few months. Oh, they fell through the cracks. That's what it's saying right here. That there be no cracks. That there be no schism in the body. But in order to do that, it says that the members should have the same care one for another. Every member ought to learn eventually how to care for other people. Every member ought to come to the place of maturity. And it takes a while. I understand that. Maybe some of you aren't there yet. It takes a while where we call it maturing in the Lord. And we start to say, you know, this isn't about me anymore, Lord. I've gone to that church for a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, 20 years, and they've been helping me and helping me and helping me. It's time I start helping someone else. And we have that conversion. We say, who can I help? And I have found that the more you help of other people, the more you forget you even exist. And the more you help of other people, the smaller and smaller and smaller your problems become. Until you forget you even had any. Oh yeah, I got some problems. Forgot all about them. You know, I think the richest people on earth are those who know, not in a proud way, but in a humble way, that they are needed. People need me. People are leaning on me. I'm helping this new convert stand. I'm helping him grow. Boy, if you want to feel like $1 million, start helping other people. Start helping other people. Every one of us should be a care member, a minister. Every member, a minister who cares for other people. We do that with soul winning. We say everybody ought to be a soul winner. We try to teach soul winning. We give you different plans and so on and so forth. And we say, now even if you can't go on the Tuesday night program or the Saturday morning program or something, we all should be soul winners. Don't we say that? And it works. You know, we went out to the Dunkirk Fair this year, the Hamburg Fair this year. There were, I think, in those 20 days, 19 days, 323 cards we received of people who'd come in, received counsel, heard the gospel, and said they accepted Jesus as their Savior. Praise the Lord. 323, I think. You know how many I led to the Lord at the fair this week, this year? Two. Two. Who led all the other ones to Christ? You did? I think we had about 60 different people from our church go to the fairs. I'm glad over the years I've tried to train people how to win souls. Because that's a whole lot more than I can ever do. I take the same concept in closing into caring. How many people can I care for? I mean, really care for. Not a lot. But what if we all cared? What if there was 100 people in the church who died to self, forsook sin, and said, Lord, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to serve others. Who can I help? Lord, give me the right words. Help me to pray for that person. Help me to go the extra mile for that person to meet their need. Help me to go from beyond just being friendly to being caring and to praying for people and going the extra mile. What kind of a church could care for more people? One pastor trying to do it all or a whole bunch of people? It only just makes sense. A whole lot of us caring for other people. You know, since we started the care ministry in our church, and I have no idea what year that was we started it. Anybody remember? No idea. Huh? 2000? 2000, okay. Then let me say this, the last 6 years, I can say this honestly from the pulpit, the last 6 years have been the easiest years of my ministry. In that respect. Because I know there's a whole lot of you that are trying to meet the first time attender, the hurting church member, and you've been trained what to look for, who to help, how to minister to them. It really has been. It's been a joy to me. You know, not to have to try to say, well, I'm preaching, there's 6 first-time attenders here, I got to get to every one of them somehow after the service. Don't talk to me. I remember those days. I'm jumping over pews like a hurdler. You know, it's like a hurdler in the Olympics. Look out. You're a first-time attender, the pastor's running over the pews at you, you know. So they never come back. This guy's crazy. We need your help. Some people can naturally care for others. Some got to really work at it. But all of us need to be doing this. We all need to be caring for people. And I want you to pray the prayer that we saw earlier today where it says, God put into Titus' heart earnest care for you. And I want to encourage this to be a day of conversion for some of us from being selfish or self-centered to saying, Lord, who can I help? Train me, equip me, qualify me to help other people, maybe in their small matters. Maybe there'll be times where great matters I'll have to say, go see the pastor, but I can help people with small matters. And we get really deep into this when you get into it and some of the things to say and training and how to handle this different situation. I've gone a while here today, but I'd like us to have an invitation at this time. If we could just bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Father, we pray now for thy Holy Spirit to work as I've talked to thy congregation mostly. But Lord, should there be just one among us that does not know for sure that they're saved or needs baptism or church membership, we pray decisions would be made. Now, Lord, help us all to pray care right into our lives. Surely, it must be the perfect will of God that we be a caring people. So as we ask for care, Lord, equip us. I pray, Lord, that many, not manipulation, not emotionalism, but by a spiritual decision would say, I'm going to join a care team and start ministering to other people. Bless our time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our blue hymn books and stand with me and turn to page